Someone stole Leo's iPhone.
An unlikely story.
You paid $350 to get back Leo's iPhone.
Leads to a demand for ransom.
I'm like, Leo, friends don't charge you to get things back.
Did he see an easy target?
Leo is 17, but his mental ability is probably like 11, 10-year-old.
You're starting out being a bully and a thief, and you're only 19.
Judge Judy.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy.
Jacqueline Shaw is suing her son's former friend, 19-year-old Brian Bankowitz, for the value of an Apple Watch, lost wages, and travel costs.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 58 on the calendar, the matter of Shaw versus Bankowitz.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Ms. Shaw, is this your son?
Yes.
Would you stand up next to your mom? Your son and the defendant either go or went to school together.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you still go to school together?
No.
It is your claim that the defendant, who you allege has been sort of bullying your son, in effect stole an iWatch from him.
Yes, ma'am.
The defendant doesn't deny that he, in fact, had possession of the iWatch. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Bankowitz, you're 18?
19.
19. You don't deny that you had possession of his watch. Your defense sort of is that you were really doing him a favor. Now, your first name is?
Leo.
You had an iPhone.
Yes.
Where did you get the iPhone from?
My mom.
And when did you buy him the phone, Ms. Shaw?
I bought it around August of 2017.
And you also bought him an iWatch?
Yes, ma'am.
When did you buy him an iWatch?
It was for Christmas. It was a Christmas gift.
How much did you pay for the iWatch?
It was a total of like $360-something, and then I had got insurance on it, which added an extra $100, so it was like $470-something.
Now, Mr. Bankowitz, you went to school with Mr. Shaw last semester.
Correct.
So I'm going to start with you, since you acknowledge that you did, in fact, have possession of his iWatch.
Yes.
Right? Let me understand the story as you related it to me in your answer, and then I'll ask you to sort of fill in the blanks for me. Someone stole Leo's iPhone, correct?
Correct.
Voice up.
Correct.
The name of the person who you saw with Leo's iPhone. I want the name of the person that you saw with Leo's iPhone. You left it out of your answer.
I don't know his name.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do. You know his name because you went to him and got the iPhone back, according to you. So you know his name. I want his name.
I don't know his name.
Okay, so far now I don't believe you. Do you understand? Right. So we're starting out with the fact, Mr. Bankowitz, that you lied to me. Because whether you know his first name or his last name or his nickname, you know his name. You saw him with the iPhone, and at some point you said to Leo, I can get your iPhone back for you from this person whose name you don't know,
no.
Right? According to your answer, this person that you don't know had a conversation with you and said, if you want the iPhone back, it'll cost you $350, right? That's the story that you want me to believe, right, Mr. Bankowitz? So to do Leo a favor, you paid this person whose name you don't know $350 in cash to get back Leo's iPhone. That's what you told me. Am I remembering this answer that you swore to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you don't have any proof of where you got $350 from because I don't see any paperwork in front of you. A pay stub, a bank statement, someplace where you withdrew $350. I don't see any of that in front of you. All I see is perfectly coiffed hair. Do you understand? Get it? You didn't think this was going to be easy, did you?
No.
Now, you told Leo, well, he had to make up to you for this $350 because you and Leo were never friends, right?
Incorrect.
You were friends?
Yes.
Was he your friend?
Yes.
Did you ever complain to your mom about him?
Yes.
Mrs. Shaw, what did your son tell you about Mr. Bankowitz?
A few times they told me that he was on probation from school, and that's when we started explaining to Leo that this is not your friend, this is not the type of person that you want to be around. His sister was explaining to him to stay away from him as well. Leo is 17, but his mental ability. It's like a probably like 11, 10-year-old. So Leo still thought that this is my friend, Mom. He's watching out. He got it back for me. And I'm like, Leo, friends don't charge you to get things back. And even when we went to the school, they had to explain to him, the police officer that we called had to explain to Leo as well, this is not your friend.
So Leo, Mr. Bankowitz tells me that you gave him a necklace. Did you give him a necklace?
Yes, I did.
Where had you gotten the necklace from?
From my mom.
What kind of a necklace was it?
It was a cross with, like, diamonds. I don't think they were real.
And he gave that to you after you got the iPhone back from the person whose name you don't know, correct?
Correct.
To whom you paid $350 and you have no proof of, also correct?
Correct.
And then his mother asked where the piece of jewelry was, and so you gave it back to him, right? Speak.
He told me that his mom was asking about the jewelry, so he wanted to give me something else so he didn't get in trouble.
Right. So what else did he give you?
The Apple Watch.
So he gave you the Apple Watch. Are you following this?
I'm following.
Who is this?
This is my foster father.
You following the story?
Yes, I am.
Disappointing.
Yes.
So he gave you the iWatch. In what month did he give you the iWatch?
I think it was like 2 months ago.
And when did he ask you back for it?
Well, I told him I had lost it, like, that day.
Lost it? You lost it? Mr. Bankowitz, you're 19 years old. Life is a journey. It's going to be a tough journey or an easy journey. You're starting out being a wise guy, a bully, and a thief. You are a nice-looking boy. You look as if you have brains. So you got those two things going for you. Character is something that you have to have inside. This foster father of yours, I met him for a second. He said two words to me. He sounds like a nice man. He sounds like a nice man. Sounds like somebody that you could maybe learn from. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. How long have you been living in his home?
A year.
Well, evidently you didn't learn a whole lot because this watch and the $350 happened while you were living in his home. What kind of a job did you have in the last year?
I worked at Expectations and Isabella's, a pizza shop.
How many days a week?
Like every day.
Did you go to school?
Yes.
So you worked every day after school?
Yes.
Do you get paid in check or cash?
Check.
You put the check in the bank?
No. I do it at a check place.
And how much do you earn every week?
Approximately like...
Not like. Keep your voice up.
$500, like every 2 weeks.
$250 per week?
Yes.
And what do you pay for out of that?
I don't pay for anything at all unless it's like something that
I... Well, then why do you cash it? For what?
Things I want.
Like, that's things I want are things. So what do you pay?
Clothing.
For? Clothing?
Shoes.
So you buy your own clothes?
I do.
Good. Food? I'm sure you can have meals at your foster family's house, but you're talking about going out food.
Yeah.
What else do you spend the money on? What else?
That's all.
And where do you keep the money?
My pockets.
Are you still working there?
Not at this time, no.
Well, when did you stop working there?
3 weeks ago.
Why?
I quit.
Why?
Because I want to be a server so I can make more money.
Did you have another job?
Yes.
So where are you working now?
P.F. Chang's.
Full-time?
Part-time.
Good. So you should have plenty of money, right?
Yes.
To pay back the $470 for the iWatch. Judgment for the plaintiff. We're done. Thank you.
Bodies are excused. You may step out.
I'm a single mom, and I try to buy things that they like and the things that the other kids have.
Basically, everything's been put on me.
And for someone else to just take your hard-earned money is hard.
Kind of the one being bullied here.
In his eyes, he probably was his friend because he benefited from the friendship.
I did consider myself a friend of his.
I might just say, be your kid's voice. I am my son's voice, and don't allow anybody, because we watch it every day on television, kids being bullied and they take their lives. Just thankful God that didn't happen with my son.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Davis versus Kerner. Step forward.
25-year-old Blake Davis is suing fellow motorist Michael Kerner for causing an accident when he was driving in the median.
Each of you claim that the other is responsible for an automobile accident where both of your cars were either totaled or very badly damaged. Mr. Davis, tell me the date of this accident.
February 21st, 2018.
What time?
Around 5:09 p.m.
Where had you been that day?
I'd been working.
What are your hours of work?
I work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every Monday through Friday.
And who do you live with?
I live with two roommates.
And I assume you were on your way home?
Correct.
And where had you been that day, Mr. Kerner?
I was coming home from work. I had been at work all day, from 8 to
5.
And where were you going?
I was going home.
You take the same route every day?
Basically.
Okay, sir. So you can go over there.
Yes, ma'am.
Explain to me. Your car is the...
So I am the P car, and Mr. Kerner is the D car.
Okay.
What I was trying to do was take a left to go eastbound.
You were crossing over traffic.
Correct. I had to wait for the westbound traffic to stop for me, make a gap, so that I could then proceed into the median lane and then merge into the eastbound direction of traffic.
How many?
There's 5 lanes total.
And this is rush hour?
Correct.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
My insurance company deemed Mr. Kerner 100% responsible.
No, I don't care what your insurance company, that's it.
Correct.
I don't care what they did.
His insurance company.
I'm asking you whether your insurance company paid the other 50% of the gate.
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy.
Blake Davis says, fellow motorist Michael Kerner caused an accident by driving in the median. Michael is countersuing, claiming Blake was making a left turn, so he's responsible.
You were coming out of where?
So my work is located right here.
So that's a parking lot?
Correct.
So you were coming out of a parking lot, and you were going over 2 lanes of traffic, according to you, that stopped for you.
Yes, ma'am.
The defendant was in the 3rd lane of traffic. Is that a turn lane?
Ma'am, that is a median lane.
Is there a solid line?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a photo of that?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to see it. Does that line become a non-solid line down at the end of the street where you can make your left turn?
Yes, ma'am. In the police report, it is recorded as 575 feet away from the actual crash.
What's on Kent Lane?
Would you like me to go back to the graph?
Tell me what is on Kent Lane.
Kent Lane to the left?
Yes.
So right here would be a Fred Meyer's grocery store, which is where he was trying to go, and it says that specifically in the police report.
Now can I see the police report, please?
Yes, ma'am. Attached to the police report are 2 witness statements that are...
Did your insurance company pay for the metal gate that you went through?
They settled for a 50% claim because my insurance company deemed that I was 50% responsible. So they settled with them for 50%.
For the gate?
Yeah, for the at Nelson's RV, yes. Yes, ma'am.
I assume your insurance company did not?
My insurance company deemed Mr. Kerner 100% responsible.
No, I don't care what your insurance company, that's it.
Correct.
I don't care what they did.
His insurance company.
I'm asking you whether your insurance company paid the other 50% of the gate.
No, ma'am. Not that I know of.
Mr. Davis, if Mr. Kerner was going to make a left turn onto Kent Lane, what you're suggesting is that because there's a solid line there, he should have waited until he got further up to make his left turn.
What I'm suggesting is he should have waited until it was open to get into that turning lane.
What do you mean until it was open? It was open according to your diagram. Yes. It was open according to your diagram.
So turning into the lane up until this point to where the yellow line stops.
The median lane where he was going to make his left turn into Kent appeared to be clear. What you're telling me is there's a solid line that he should not have crossed where he did. You said that's a solid line. That's the same solid line that you were crossing.
Yes, ma'am. I guess maybe I just misspoke.
But am I correct? There's a solid yellow line there.
Yes, ma'am. You're correct.
Okay. So you were crossing over a solid yellow line.
Yes, ma'am.
To make a turn in traffic. And you, Mr. Kerner, were going a little too fast.
I could have been going slower.
And you, Mr. Kerner, were going a little too fast.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
By going through the parking lot and going through traffic instead of making a right, a right, and a right, which is what I tell my husband to do all the time, please don't go. I can't see whether another car is coming. If you make a right and go to the light, make another right, you can get home.
Real cases, real people, Judge Judy.
Blake Davis says fellow motorist Michael Kerner caused an accident by driving in the median. Michael is countersuing, claiming Blake was making a left turn, so he's responsible.
Okay, so you were crossing over a solid yellow line.
Yes, ma'am.
To make a turn in traffic. And you, Mr. Kerner, were going a little too fast.
I could have been going slower.
Yes, and you, Mr. Kerner, were going a little too fast.
The lane was clear all the way to Kent Street.
I got what happened.
Yeah.
I got what happened. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that I would, Mr. Davis, have to agree with Mr. Kerner's insurance company, not yours. You're coming out of a parking lot. You're coming out, it's your responsibility, so you have to come to a dead stop.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what you could have done is you could have come out and made a right and another right, and then made a turn at the light without going through three or perhaps four lanes of traffic in rush hour. That was a possibility,
yes,
right?
Ma'am, it
would
was.
Have taken you a little more time, but that was a possibility. Probably the more prudent thing to do was to come out of the parking lot, make a right turn, make another right at the light where that's clear, make a right, and then eventually you make your square and you go home.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I actually agree with Mr. Kerner's insurance company if he found each of you 50% responsible. What?
Ma'am, he did get cited for the incident. It's for misuse of the lane, and I have proof of that as well. I guess my argument is he shouldn't have been in the lane in the first place, and the two cars did stop for me. So as far as I know, that's not illegal. It's legal for me to get into that lane.
It's legal for you to go. I assume it's legal for you to go, otherwise you would have been cited, if the road is clear. It wasn't. If
at
it wasn't
time.
Clear,
yes, ma'am.
If it wasn't clear, you know, you take a chance. You're actually, if you're coming out of that driveway, I mean, I've been in that situation before, you're sort of keeping your fingers crossed that there's nobody coming down that median lane, because it isn't an empty lane, and if somebody is going to make a left turn and the whole lane is clear up to the left turn lane, he may have gotten into the left turn lane prematurely, but it was totally clear, and if traffic is totally backed up, it's a reasonable thing to do.
Ma'am, I just assumed it was against the law, and it is against the law to be in that lane for as long as he claimed on the police report to be in the lane to get to the light.
I would agree with Mr. Kerner's insurance company that you were partially to blame for the accident, but for the fact that you came out of a parking lot into oncoming traffic, attempting to go through three lanes of traffic to make a left turn in rush hour, it wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. And I actually think that his conduct is not aberrant in getting into that turn lane a little early. If it was totally clear, you would have probably done the same thing, because you were taking a shortcut to get home by going through the parking lot and going through traffic instead of making a right, and a right, which is what I tell my husband to do all the time. Please don't go. I can't see over that rise. I can't see whether another car is coming. If you make a right and go to the light, make another right, you can get home. We can sit for sometimes 10 minutes before the cars stop going by. And I said, not yet, not yet. No, not clear.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Well, that's what you were doing, only you didn't have somebody clearing it for you. So I think it was an unfortunate accident, and you both should pay for your own damages. What happened to your car?
It was totaled.
What happened to your car?
It was totaled as well.
Expensive lesson. Did your insurance company give you any money for your car?
No, ma'am.
Did your insurance company give you any money for your car?
No, ma'am, I did not have collision, so.
Your car was 11 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
And your car was?
30 years old.
30 years old.
Yes, but it was 80% restored. I had been restoring it for a number of years. I have $4,500 worth of receipts I can show you that I put into it over the last 10 years.
Did you buy another car?
No, ma'am.
I have to agree with his insurance company that I think that both of you were at fault in this accident. Some a little bit more. I cannot actually gauge whether it's 50% or 60%, but both your cars were total. It seems to me you learned a good lesson. Fortunately, you weren't hurt. That's it. Thank you.
Those are excused. They step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I honestly understand what she is saying. I don't agree.
I kind of agree with everything she said.
He was cited for the accident. I was not cited.
I came in with this thinking that she would agree with me and my insurance company.
He should be responsible.
No one got hurt.
I'm not hurt. He's not hurt. That's really what's important.
We're glad we walked away from this accident.
I'm just glad this is all over.
I'm glad everything's okay and we're done with it.